Once again, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We've been in business about 25 years, and we're Christian-owned and operated. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto, and we are a high-volume, low-margin dealer. We do a lot of portfolio stuff as far as people investing and saving money and protecting. I think we're at a good plateau right now. The metals are kind of hanging in there. Gold is hanging up right around 2,000 an ounce. In the upper 19s, and silver's in the 28 range, and it's packing down the dirt, I call it. That's where, you know, it's super critical that any bull market lets off steam. And so when you see things run, it gets to the point where you're like, oh, man, this is getting old. I'm missing out on this, you know. But you always should see some temporary reprieve, not a recorrection. I know there's a whole mentality. I've been doing this a long time, and I've heard it all, you know. No matter what level gold's at, there's always the few of us that are like, well, darn it, I was going to buy it this, and I didn't do it, and you know, and it's really a hypothetical speculation that you're doing because you didn't buy. So, and I've heard people say, well, you know, if I'd have bought at the low back in, you know, April 9th of 99 or whatever it is. Well, no one ever buys at the low. I mean, someone did, but now you certainly can't do it on purpose. I've seen people, you know, I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed and among many other things. And so I was around the banking and the money and all that kind of stuff for quite a while. And you'll see people literally look and go, well, if I had bought here and, well, all right, but I bought here and I would have sold there, you know, and they'll point at the peak. And it's like you just don't do that. You don't think that way. You're not going to do it. You're not going to time that. You basically, the point of owning precious metals, well, let's call them precious metals-based assets. That's important because there's a whole sector involved. And a lot of people ask a lot of questions. And then, obviously, when people are investing, you know, the logical start off is I want gold and silver, you know, and then we'll kind of show them, depending on how much money they're spending, some different options. And I think they're always afraid of some esoteric item like some $2,000 penny or something. We're not into that much. When we do portfolios, in other words, most of what we're dealing in has a, you know, substantial intrinsic value. Intrinsic value means the value of its contents, which in this case are precious metals. But when we do larger portfolios, we definitely throw in numismatic. And the way coins go is you have bullion. Bullion just means you're buying the metal. And it's important you listen to this because people miss it. It doesn't matter what shape the gold is in. If it's bullion, it's bullion. People will think that, well, I don't want a coin. I just want bullion. You don't want a coin, but you want bullion. So what exactly did you have in mind? Oh, I don't know. How does bullion come? Well, bullion comes as a coin. That's 99% of it. I mean, we get gold bars now and then, but as a general rule, no, you know, we don't push them. I'll put it that way. The reason is bars are privately minted, obviously by private men, and they are counterfeited fairly heavily. I don't want to spook anybody, but that is just a fact of life. And the Chinese are out there doing it all the time. And they come in nice little gold cachets, you know, that you can't get them out of. They're sealed. They look real nice. They do terrific work. We have machines. We can test through all the packaging. We have ultrasound, specific gravity, which is a machine that weighs it again in water and calculates the specific gravity of it. I learned all that in college. Couldn't tell you how it works now. We have electronic testers, which work with electrical current. And then we have good old-fashioned nitric acid, which you can tell with that. So we're pretty good at being able to tell. What the tricky part is with the bars is they come in these beautiful little cachets. It's like a card sealed in plastic. They look nice, and you don't really touch the bar. So in most cases, if people don't have the right equipment, they're going to miss that. So I just so you know, in everything, coins plus cells, we stand behind 100%. So you never have to worry about that. I'm just telling you, there are counterfeits out there. And that's another reason you want to deal with someone reputable. You can look in the eye. Or you know what their intentions are, et cetera, and reputation. And that's something, you know, in 25 years of business, they might be able to say a few unsavory things about me or us or whatever. But one thing they no one can say with any honesty is that we would have ever done anything unethical or unscrupulous or anything of that nature, at least never intentionally. You can't really be unethical if you don't intend to be, right? But I'm just saying, I mean, we've made mistakes, don't get me wrong, but we always make them right. We've never had any legal action, any of that. We just make things right, which isn't hard. It's rare that it ever occurs, and, you know, there's times our employees have made mistakes, and I just get right behind them and do whatever it takes to make them right. It's never worth the cost. I always tell my employees, do the right thing, no matter the cost. Now, I don't know if they turn that around and decide the right thing is giving themselves 20 ounces of gold, and they don't have to worry about my costs, that might not be the best thing. But I think they know what I mean. You know, it's just always about doing the right thing. That's our goal. So it makes life easy. And, you know, having employees over the years, like I said, I've had employees make mistakes, and it and some more than others. And some have made very foolish mistakes and then tried to hide them. Substantial, like the loss of $87,000 worth of gold being tossed into a priority mailbox and just shipped. Our insurance rider requires we do a box within a box, and anything of that value over 25 grand has to go registered, et cetera. And it's a very secure process. Registered mail goes under lock and key the whole way. The employees, that's U.S. Postal Service, the employees that handle it get paid extra money to do it. For whatever reason, it's locked up in the truck, et cetera. And whenever we ship something out to you, our clientele, we always ship it that way because until you sign for it, it's on us. And some people are like, oh, I don't want a paper trail. I don't want a record. And it's like, folks, I get the idea and information, but at the same time, how about that? The telephone works. But I get the whole concept. But the thing is, if you'd seen how many, I guess, transactions we've done, just us, over the years, and then you compare that to the dollar size, most people that are concerned are fractional. You know, it's not relevant. I just don't see. I mean, owning precious metals isn't like a big secret. It's private. It's anonymous. It's transportable. It's immediately liquid anywhere in the world. That's true. And it's super important that you realize that. It's called the term is fungible. The term fungible means that something has a value everywhere, all the time. In other words, it's consistent. It's always the same. Precious metals-based assets are fungible. The other thing is, when you get into, like, foreign nations, people go, oh, you know, what about China and, you know, Thailand and England and South America? How about if I have U.S. coins down there? Yes, we're in the internet era, folks. We are in the information age. We're at some point of where Daniel discussed that, you know, knowledge shall increase and people will travel to and fro. And in Hebrew, it means rapidly, to and fro around the world. It means rapidly around the world. When they wrote that, you got to realize they didn't know, you know, Daniel and then later on John, who wrote Revelation, they didn't know. Well, they were trying to translate what they saw. And I know that with John, he did. I in some cases, I think Daniel says write down these words. But I also believe he had a vision. And he was apparently capable of comprehending a fair amount of it and describing it in a way that will make sense to us one day. It's getting closer and closer. It is very interesting when you start to look at a lot of the the different teachings about end times that most of us have been exposed to. As things change and they seem to anneal, they're coming together and hardening and becoming more firm. You can see it coming together. We have to remain open-minded. We can't say, oh, no, that's not it, because I believe this. And if it's clearly something else, then we need to be, you know, like, seek the truth no matter the cost. You know, we just, and the cost might be to say, oh, I was wrong. Folks, it's not that hard to say you're wrong. It is for some of us, some people. To say you're wrong and apologize. And there's all kinds of psychology you could get into there. I hope not to be doing that. But people go through different things growing up. Usually traumatic upbringings create, what do they call it? Don't talk. Oh, don't talk, don't feel something. I messed that one up. But it's interesting that it's consistent. Don't trust, that's it. Don't trust, don't talk, don't feel. And so it's interesting that kids that grow up in these environments gain these qualities consistently. It's not 100%, but it's so far beyond random chance that it's science, you know, and we all have this same way of coping. In some cases, children have been through horrendous, horrible things. And somehow can compartmentalize and do all kinds of things. But the problem is later in life. Now, here I go. I'm a psychologist, right? But I believe me, I've studied this stuff extensively from a professional standpoint as well. But there's a lot of people that just struggle with communication. And it's not always trauma. But that was just one example. That's the don't trust, don't talk, don't feel. You know, you can't trust anybody because your parents will let you down or whoever they were. Even if you live in a chronically alcoholic home, you know, you might have one of the spouses overreacting one way or the other. They may be a hyper enabler. They may be, I'm not like an expert, but some, you know, the opposite. They may be like the parent, the shamer, just the negative, hard-headed, rigid, inflexible, you know, immovable. I mean, all these things come in, and it's kind of sad when you think about the fact, and I've kind of been reading up on some of this stuff lately, not that exactly, but, you know, you think about the fact, we say things like emotions are choices, okay? Well, we see it like rock. You know, like emotions are rock, and you can choose. But the thing is, you got to realize is we're vessels made up of molecules by God just to house our soul, our spirit, for our duration here on this earth. So from the outward appearance, as God says, you know, everything looks, makes sense. We get to experience this life. It's literally like a video game. Oh, here we go. That's a bad example. But it's a hologram. It's like taking your spirit, your body, and you're putting it into a body. So you're not putting your body in a body, but take your spirit, put it into a body, and then you experience life. Well, your creator, part of this puzzle while you're on this earth, it says in the Bible, it's God's nature to hide a thing and man's nature to find it out. So God put us in this kind of riddle puzzle. We get all kinds of bents, one way or the other, biases, anger, division, divisiveness. It's all choices. If you think about it, things that make us so mad, you know, it's our choice. God gave us these emotions for a reason, right? Be angry, but do not sin. You know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. God gave us these emotions to be used appropriately. Having righteous indignation, being angry at injustice, something terrible happening to children, you know, a man beating his wife or whatever. Those things should make us infuriated or furious. That's natural. But the problem is we get where if we don't cope with our emotions properly, and men especially, because we're not supposed to be emotional beings. I'm getting liberal today. But anyway, men tend to turn a lot of emotions into anger. Anger looks tougher. It's more macho. And as a kid, you must have learned that you got what you wanted, you know. But life is meant to be experienced. God gave us all kinds of emotions so we could experience it and feel it, you know, joy and sadness and all kinds of stuff. So there we go. There you got your free counseling for the day. I'm sure that was of terrific, phenomenal value for you. I'm going to... I guess we can do a quick, a little update on what's going on out there in the world, which is sort of kind of interesting when you consider the fact that we've become so accustomed to this insanity. It really is, it's pretty pathetic. I will definitely admit my concern over the upcoming election. If you comprehended how much the left, the Hillary Clintons and the George Soroses, and how much they're doing to steal this next election, I think you'd be blown away. They've got papers drawn up, injunctions prepared to file. They've got papers already submitted with the courts. They're going to fight this baby to the death. They are not. It's interesting, you know, Hillary was harassing Trump about that he wouldn't be willing to accept the results of the election. Well, guess who couldn't accept the results of the election? You know, and the biggest problem is the fact that the lack of humility, I guess, is... she just can't back down. She's so mad that he beat her. She's just going to carry it to her grave, and it'll get her there a lot quicker, too. We've learned the corruption in D.C. is so far beyond anything comprehensible. The consequences are only politically motivated. There is no true justice in that cesspool. Is it not interesting that Donald Trump knew to call it the swamp? I mean, that was a pretty harsh term, wasn't it? Draining the swamp is what he said he would do. Well, he's pretty sharp. I mean, today, I think it was, or yesterday, this book came out by Bob Woodward, who's, you know, he's been a decent news anchor over the years. He's not a bad guy, but he's a liberal. He comes out with this book, One Nation Under Trump. You know, like One Nation Under God, because Trump thinks he's God, right? And he's trying to say that Trump undershot the coronavirus, just butcher-shopped it. Folks, this is all concocted, one way or the other. In other words, the coronavirus has been around forever. It's one of the earliest viruses discovered with an electron microscope. There's like 223 strains I read and 32 identifiable substrains and blah, blah, blah. I'm not a virologist, so I'll end there. But it's very common. People get it all the time. That's why we're showing all this immunoserology, which means you have the antibody serum in your blood. That means your body's seen it. Well, apparently coronavirus is so common that your body loses its immunity to it about every 3 or 4 years. Some people, for some unknown reason, carry it longer. Some for less. But we all have been exposed to it. And that's that. I mean, and that's where these tests are so deceptive. And I'm telling you, folks, this stuff, I talked to a friend of mine this morning who's definitely on the other side of the fence. And it's crazy how, you know, I was saying, oh, you know, this is kind of baloney. And I was talking, and he goes, I don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter what you say, I won't believe it. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, this guy's a PhD. He's a friend of mine from college. And we go way back, and he's got a doctorate in mathematics. And so he knows science. He understands it. But he doesn't care. He's just got his agenda. And then he's saying, well, I know, you know, it's always, I know people who died. Who? Oh, just people my mom knows. And then, okay, well, who is it? Well, my mom's in a rest home, and they've lost 25 people. 25 people from that one rest home? No, but I read that this, you know, this is how the conversation, but I read that there's 25 have died in rest homes, and they're dying all over the place, and you think of that, all of the empirical evidence, it's called circumstantial evidence when you're drawing conclusions. You're assuming things, and it's just like, he was commenting that, you know, where they were stacking up bodies in freezer trucks or whatever it was. Well, yeah. Do you know why? Because they made ordinances that you couldn't transport a body, or, and so there was no ambulance to transport a dead body. No morgue. It's like we created this false pandemic. And people go, oh, it's not false. But think about it. Nothing about it, even with the drastically exaggerated numbers, doesn't even compare to any real pandemic. So they have to keep the hype going. They got to get Trump out of there. And you're thinking, well, how can it be a whole world? It's like a world conspiracy. No, it isn't. You have, you know, Bill Gates owns the coronavirus. patent, and he did the Wuhan lab thing and created it. That's where I'd say one way or the other. Either they genetically modified a strain of it and are releasing it in certain locations. It's interesting who gets it when they go overseas outside the cover of our country. It seems a little coincidental to me. So either they genetically modified it, or they just knew it was like the flu of the year. I mean, think about it. We've all heard about it. West Nile virus is coming. You better get your shots. Well, this year, they went after the coronavirus. Why? Oh, there's no vaccine. But everybody gets exposed all the time. So we're running tests and we're finding it. Oh, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Well, guess what? How long was it before we found out about the masses of people who are what they call asymptomatic? I know people, literally know them personally, that I know for 100% fact they've tested positive for corona. Not one of them. One of them had minor symptoms for a day. A younger gal, 19 or 20, you know, sore throat, headache, that's it. And then they found out that they'd been exposed, and down the ladder that went. But the bottom line is there's nothing there. And there's like no evidence of children transferring to children, or, you know, even children to adult is super rare. So it's just, they're just doing so much to destroy our lives. It's, you know, it's as Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He destroys what God made. He steals ideas. He steals intellectual property. Interesting, isn't it, that our founders put that in the Constitution, the patents and trademarks. Why? Because they were brilliant. And they knew that your ability to create with your brain was worth more than anything in the world. And they'd lived in countries that abused that. And our nation, you know, has to a degree, I think. One, attorneys have made it convoluted when we trademarked our name because somebody was using it for a coin software. I mean, using my logo, my name, right down to the T. I've had it happen a couple times just because of our, I don't know, our longevity and reputation. Trademarking it is very difficult. It's long and it's cumbersome. So just like the rest of our system, it's been polluted by attorneys. The other problem is companies are doing hyper patent securing, I guess you'd call it. In other words, they get together, and I know a guy who's a super world top patent attorney. And he gets together with the CEOs and all the think tank groups of large corporations, the largest in the world, about every 6 months, I believe. And they brainstorm and come up with all these fantasy ideas for the future. And then they patent it. They write patents for things that haven't been made yet. They secure patents for things that are going to need alternative material that doesn't exist today. I mean, they take these things so far out that if a guy gets a real idea down the road, he's, you know, these companies, they're it's called trolling. And there's companies out there, and they've tried to put the clamps on it. But there are companies out there that go up and gobble up all these patents. They buy patents, but they don't pay squat for them, or they buy, or they'll renew expired patents for whatever the fee is in volume. And then they have experts that go around and find companies that are breaching the patent. So, you know, if they pick up some patent for a black square phone number keys, which is just a stupid example, and someone's got phones with the same kind of keys on them, they can sue them and say, hey, that's our idea. You stole it. You owe us umpteen gajillion dollars. And it's unfair because they're basically not securing a tangibly measurable product. They're securing a thought or a dream and a fantasy. And it's getting worse now because the majority of stocks, for example, the S&P 500, I know like 25, 30 years ago was, you know, 95% tangible assets based. Now, it's 95% intellectual property based companies. Companies that offer services, you know, computer based, programming, whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's companies out there that are selling physical products, but the majority of them now are web-based and everything's in the air. And so now it's different. Back then, years and years back when they wrote this, about where they put the protection of patents in the Constitution, you pretty much had to make a product. And you had to show the product. And you'd have to draw the product out. Now they're letting people patent concepts. To me, that just seems like they've gone way over the edge. And like I said, I know guys who do this for a living, not the trolling where they take advantage of companies, thank goodness. But as far as going out and securing these patents that aren't made yet. So in time, it's going to be like web domain addresses. You can't even get one. Some people have web crawlers. They literally run every legitimate word in combinations and build websites that are left, and that's that. You get some new news, you know, on all of a sudden some new person hits the limelight, and all of a sudden you got, you know, everything to do with that person's name has a web address already. People go out and buy all that stuff up. It's just crazy. And I remember getting on the internet back in the mid-90s, and learn about this and thinking, man, I'd like to secure some good websites. I mean, back then you could still get three-digit websites, three-letter websites. You can't anymore. But I was on good old dial-up. And I'll never forget, man, I would literally have a cup of coffee. I would literally hit the key to send a search on the web and go get myself a cup of coffee. And by the time I was back to my computer, it would maybe be loaded or loading slow. That's how that was. You know, and so anyway, that's irrelevant. But there's people that made a ton of money this, you know, and there's been some interesting cases like Nissan, Tom Nissan, I think his name was. He had Nissan.com and the auto manufacturer tried to bully him out of it. Did everything they could, and finally it went to the Supreme Court because it was the first case. And the Supreme Court ruled that he got his $500,000 back in legal fees or whatever, plus $8 million in punitive damages, and then another fee for the website. And so the courts basically said, hey, you don't own that name, and you're not going to bully the small guy out of that stuff. They just sent a loud message. So it's basically an open market of intellectual property. That's what we got. So as far as what's going on in the world, I know you all know. I mean, it's just a wonderful place, isn't it? We have election coming up in less than 2 months. I think it's probably 60 days or something. Or less. And man, they're breaking out of can, you know. I said Woodward came out with his book, One Nation Under Trump, where he tries to say that Trump didn't react. He didn't tell the truth to the people because he didn't want to panic the people. And now Joe Biden says he'd have done it totally different. And Andy Fauci, who's been given a position far beyond his scope because he's not an elected official, and we can't be run by non-elected officials, even he is quoted and recorded numerous times saying, what a terrific job Trump's done. No, at no time in the history of the United States have we ever had a coordinated effort like this. You know, that there's nothing more he could do and all this stuff. And the media just won't cover this stuff. It's really sad. It really is, because it's so biased. And you get people, like I was saying, my friend, who believe one way on this COVID thing because they're not getting the information from the right sources. The other problem, too, is these media companies, folks, number one, and I mean big number one, they make big money off of this. They want the hype. They want the fear. You know, I'm sorry to admit it, but, you know, they say blood sells and it's blood in the streets, you know. You'll get reporters that will sit and film terrible things happening to people. People being shot and killed. And the reporter just records it. They don't jump in and try to save anybody, you know. So, we're getting to a point where, you know what point we're getting at. We've got... They're trying to create hype and frenzy so bad. The Black Lives Matter thing. They, you know, the, what is it? Antifa, of all things. These are just organized activist groups for bringing on Marxism. There's a guy on the web, I think you look up George Soros paid protester or something. George Soros. The guy admits it right there. He's getting paid, and he leads people under him, and they're getting paid. And the more people he brings in, the more he gets paid. And he's going to one after the next. He doesn't even care. You know, he's just out making a buck. But it shows how corrupt it is. These people that are showing up at these protests and trashing things and raising Cain, these people are not even legitimate protesters. They're paid vandals. They're paid thugs. And they're bad. And that's why what defund the police. You think of all the psychology at once. Oh, defund the police. Show us, use your liberal socialist media and just show us all these supposed abuses by police officers. Get us to hate the police. Tell us how bad they are. And then at the same time, well, you tell us how bad they are and get their liberal mayors to agree. And at the same time, ransack these cities, burn them down. You know, the cops have one hand tied behind their back. You add on top of it this COVID mess. So it limits mobility. It limits communication. I mean, everything is just aligned. They're putting so much pressure on the back of this nation and the globe that, you know, something's going to give and it's going to be ugly. We just need to pray and continue to pray that God covers Trump, strengthens him, gives him wisdom, and helps him to reveal the evils of the swamp while being protected from it. We really need that kind of coverage in our nation right now more than ever, frankly. He is, you know, Trump's, I think, doing a good job. I think he's done overkill, to be honest with you. I really do. I think he didn't do anything wrong. I think politics is dirty. Horrible. And it's just, it stinks, you know? And the whole thing is like, even if this thing were real, which, you know, I don't think it is, there's so little evidence, folks, that of anybody dying with just coronavirus without underlying conditions. Someone said to me, well, I don't care if they have underlying conditions or not. Well, the problem is you don't know if a death from coronavirus. And with the study that came out, of course, now they're attacking it, that said there's no novel immunology found. In other words, no new antibodies are being found in anybody. So that's one thing they say. That means there's no new virus. It's the same old, same old. And they also say they could find no evidence. These are the ex-deputy director of the World Health Organization, the head of European Health Union, Bulgarian, you know, pathologist, whatever. And they're saying that no one has died from COVID alone. They exhumed a bunch of bodies, like 400 of them, 378. That was, well, 400 that supposedly died from COVID, 378 didn't have it. Of the 22 that did, they had 3 to 7 other underlying conditions. And as I was saying, you know, a friend of mine's like, well, I don't even care if there's underlying conditions, because he's buying into it hook, line, and sinker. But the whole point is, scientifically, you can't isolate it. It does matter. And when you look at the case fatality rate or infected fatality rate, it is now clearly far lower than influenza. And the CDC, Center for Disease Control, even updated their fatality statistics, and they're far lower. So and they do it, you know, quietly on a Friday, shocker, right? So let's see what changes there were here. I had it, and then I may not, I just jumped. Anyway. So I guess basically, let's see what the statistics are. They're down, let's see here. Yeah, they've basically tanked way off. I mean, way off from, on a weekly basis, where they were reporting 3,700 and 4,400, 5,500 and 6,800, 7,700 in a week reporting. This is real interesting. The totals were racking up. And the totals were all the way up to, well, they'd gotten all the way up to, you know, there were 60,000 a week and so on and so forth. And then it, you know, it dropped down 48, 55, or 55, 48, 34,000. And now they've got the death toll year to date down to 11,894, which that's a problem. I mean, that is so insignificant. And anyway, they've been pulling our strings, and we're all in. Just remember, this isn't, you know, we didn't, I wasn't aware when they were doing the SARS and the Ebola and the swine flu and West Nile virus. I'd have to go back and look at the political timing, but they use every one of them as a way to manipulate the system. You know, folks, that it's kind of terrorism. Terrorism is using violent acts or the threat thereof to force a political opinion. Well, is this not the threat of a violence of death? If you don't yield to these crazy governors, these nuts, these guys are just, I mean, they're tying our country up in a tangle. When this is over, we're going to have attorneys all over, probably messing things up worse than they are. We need to be alert and aware and not think when this thing passes that it's just one more day in paradise. It's been an absolute false pandemic. I mean, if you think about it, that is a global thing. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, the whole concept of how can it be a world conspiracy? It isn't a world conspiracy, but what happens is there's a lot of people that agree they don't like Trump. It doesn't mean they'll lie for this. But the thing is, the WHO comes out and, you know, makes this, you know, gives that COVID, supposed time to spread or whatever. And then they announce it and they, you know, and they're releasing horrendous videos from China, people dying in the streets. Terrible. All covered in blankets, piled up, and they release all this. They terrify everybody. Then anyone who gets it, everyone panics, and they isolate them and quarantine them, and nobody will go near them and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, people start dying, and they start recording numbers wrong. Why? Money. From where? World Health Organization. The U.S., we're paying people, we're paying in the United States immense amounts of money, incredible amounts of money. And that's what motivated all this to run rampant and bad information and a political agenda. Realizing it's a way to get Trump out. I didn't understand it. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You look at Biden, you look at Kamala Harris, they are definitely not star candidates for presidency. You would think Bernie Sanders is a lefty. You should do a little more research on Kamala, because she is definitely left. She's voted more liberal than Bernie. You know, she's been far more liberal than Bernie over the years. So let's see what we got here. I was kind of going over some stuff. Okay. Let's see if I got something here. Let's see. Well, anyway, I was trying to get kind of caught up here on some stuff I wanted to cover. But I guess I don't have that, so I guess you're going to just have to listen to me just a little bit, babble a little bit longer. You know, you've got Nancy Pelosi going to the beauty parlor, forcing them to open just for her while they're forced to stay closed in crazy California. And she's in there, refuses to wear a mask. Not that I'm a mask believer, but hypocrisy is a problem. And the salon owner, you know, mentions it, and down she goes. The place gets attacked and looted and threats, death threats, and Nancy calls her a liar and a setup. In other words, wants to hang the gal out. And that just shows you her disdain. It shows you their level of disdain for the average citizen. It's just, she doesn't care if she absolutely destroys this gal's life. She really doesn't care. And that, I think, isn't that the microcosm of what we're dealing with right now? I mean, they're destroying the whole world, right? It's, you know, they've got us all turned upside down, and it's just... It's something that have to admit I never thought I'd see. So as we wrap through the show here, I just want to touch on metals a little bit. I get a lot of questions. I don't cover much. And different things that come up. $10,000 law. People always think that anything over $10,000 is reportable. That this is not the case. The $10,000 law applies to cash or cash instruments. In other words, if you have a $6,000 cashier's check and $6,000 cash, you're supposed to get reported on a CTR cash transaction report, reporting form 10-something, 1080 or 830 or something. But you can spend any amount of money. on check or cashier's check. And there's no reporting required. You know, and there's other things, other ways to work around it. When selling products, there's no reporting unless it falls under the Broker Reporting Act, which really only applies to certain items that were considered comics acceptable before 1980, because they made the law in 1980. So certain coins, Krugerrands, and Maples over selling over 25 ounces in a 24-hour period of time. Right now, you know, that'd be like $45,000 or something in sales. And there's just a few items. Gold bars, but there's a ton of... The American coins are not reportable. They're legislated non-reportable. Pre-1933 U.S. gold, they made a $20, $10, $5, $2.5, and $1 coins. They're awesome to collect. They're from the 1800s, 1900s, early 19s. $20 is the equivalent of an ounce. $10 equivalent of a half ounce. $5 quarter ounce. $2.5 would be an eighth. And $1 is a 20th. So it's denominationally relevant based on $20 being an ounce. Then they made later, that was the old stuff. Later they made the eagle. The old 20s are called double eagles. Because of the legislation, constitutional legislation, specified a $10 gold piece had a half ounce of gold, roughly, and it was called an eagle, and all coinage was based on that. Of course, they threw the Constitution out when they handed it over to the Fed. Later on in the 80s, 86 was the first year we made the American eagle. We did it to compete with the world, especially... countries like South Africa, who were suffering from extreme apartheid. They had, you know, it was bad. At least that's what the media told us. Anymore, I wonder. I really do. I just don't know anymore if what to trust or how long we've been being duped. So, and then... They make a silver eagle, too. A lot of people like that. 1 ounce coin, $1 face value. They carry a strong premium over their spot. Premium is the price things cost over spot. The margin is the profit. We buy and sell metals. Say, think of it as a $100 bill. We buy it for $100 and sell it for $102. Then we buy it back for $100. Okay, we don't make money buying and selling. People say that. You don't make money buying. You make money selling. I could buy an ounce of gold for $2,000 and sell it in 5 years for $1,000. I didn't make money. But if I bought it for $2,000 and sold it for $2,050, I made money. And that's our margin. And the premium is how much overspot. That's not our profit. It's what the market is on certain items. Everything's carrying pretty strong premiums right now because there was a serious supply and demand issue for quite a while. Things are calming down a little bit. The metals aren't, but the premiums have calmed down, thank goodness, because they were excessive. And it's important to, you know, there are certain items to avoid. There's other items that are always good. We love dollars. Morgans are awesome. I sell everything in wholesale. We grade everything properly. It's just everything we sell is nice, conservatively graded, fair, nice stuff, problem-free, original, unless it says otherwise. If you buy a bag of dollars that are supposed to be Kohl's or below average or whatever, those we will disclose, and you'll save money. But we'll never sell you something bad as a good product. And everything we sell you, we believe in ourselves. We choose for very... substantial reasons. And some people can do, you know, very well on that stuff over time. We like balance. We like, I was saying, there's bullion. That's where you're just paying the intrinsic value of the item technically. But it doesn't matter the shape. So don't think because it's a coin, it's not bullion. It can be the shape of a coin, a ball, a star, a square, whatever. Bullion's bullion. Coins are minted by U.S. governments. Metals are not. A coin has a legal tender face value issued by a government. People say, oh, I don't want Chinese gold or I don't want Australian gold. When they mint that coin, at that time, they have an impeccable reputation as their treasury, and that's it. You've got that behind it. It's recognizable. It goes everywhere. If your Uncle Fred's making silver and gold bars in his backyard, that might be kind of neat. But it's not too easy to sell a gold bar from Uncle Fred's backyard. And you just don't get treated the same. So we sell only products that are universally accepted, universally recognized, universally desired. Anywhere at any time. I was talking about the internet, you know, the information age. Everything is available at a knowledgeable person's fingertips. We're on secured dealer networks, which is like a stock market, you know, with, I don't know how many dealers globally, 10,000 or something. And there's live trading, continuously active. So we know what everything's doing minute to minute. So we can keep a pretty good eye on it. We sell, like I said, bullion. Semi-numismatic is coins that are you're buying at or close to the bullion rate. But they have really good upside potential. We're always looking for value there. And then on numismatic items, those are items that are a little more supply and demand driven, and they can vary in premium. But there's some items that are just good to have too. You can have common MS-65 Morgans or something certified. You know, they're 100 and something a piece or whatever. And that's cheap for an MS-65. The MS-63s and 4s are in the $50 range. But you can have a bunch of that, and the market's just hot on that stuff. So there's a lot more we put into portfolios. It's very thoughtful, and it's based on experience. We like to help people out that way. So if you need some help, give us a call or connect with us, or we'll help you out. Now's a great time. The election is coming up. So there's not a lot of sun at the end of the tunnel there. Take care. God bless. Have a beautiful night. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.